hectic, it's chaotic, it's always on. Our consumers have a to-do list as long as a CVS receipt. And while it's hectic and stressful and chaotic, our consumers were very optimistic about getting it done. And the real insight was, and they really wanted to be mindfully present during all those moments that matter.
Welcome to Behind the Numbers Brand Anatomy, an all-new eMarketer podcast that looks under the hood of your favorite brands, made possible by Smartly.io. It's January 12th, and I'm your host, eMarketer Briefing Director Jeremy Goldman, and this is the show that gets inside brands and dives deep into one of their recent campaigns or discusses the ROI behind a new technology they've adopted. And today we're talking with Brad Essig, Chief Marketing Officer at Dr. Teals. Welcome, Brad.
Hi, Jeremy. It's great to be here.
Great to be with you. And here's what we have on deck for you today, listeners. First, a speed intro where we get to know our guest in 100 seconds or less. Then, tell me what you really think, which is a new segment where we're going to get our guest's take on a few particular stories in the news. And then we jump into this week's case study, how Dr. Teals continues to build a strong wellness brand through celebrity endorsements and strong advertising efforts. All right, Brad, time for your speed intro, where we get to know you and see how you think on your feet. 100 seconds on the clock. Our producer, Victoria, will be timing you. Your time starts now. Where were you born and where did you grow up?
Columbus, Ohio.
We'll have to talk Ohio after the show. What is your primary goal at Dr. Teals?
Our purpose is to bring out the best in everybody naturally. And all we're trying to do is invite people to try Dr. Teals.
What's one thing you've never admitted about yourself in an interview before?
This is where it's going to come out. I actually really do love rom-coms, and I have the whole time.
I like it. Who's the last person that you texted?
My 19-year-old daughter about 5 minutes ago.
Your favorite marketing or business book of the last few years?
Think Again by Adam Grant.
Favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
You can have coffee with any two living business leaders. Who do you pick?
My first would be John Replogle. He's one of the founders of One Better Ventures. He's a guy I worked with at Guinness a long time ago and is an incredible leader. And Sarah Blakely, but I'd bring my daughters along to have her learn from her.
And finally, the last one. What's one thing about how you were in high school that your Dr. Teals team would never guess is true?
That I've always actually liked pop music and rom-coms.
Again with the rom-coms. Love it. I think you did a pretty good job. Now it's time for Tell Me What You Really Think. This is a new segment where I pick one or two stories in the news that'll be highly relevant to brand marketers and get our guests' perspective. So one of the things that we discussed recently in the eMarketer briefing is the fact that the box office was really weird this year. You know, you had a few successes, like the Fast and the Furious franchise and Spider-Man at the end of the year, but it seems to me that obviously there are a lot of people who are staying away from the movies. And I'm wondering, you know, as a brand marketer, what does that mean for you? You know, does it, because I just can't help but think that there's a lot of subscription-based content at home. And if there are subscriptions, are there less advertising spots that you can get into? And, you know, does this have any impact on your business? And what do you think the future of the box office might look like?
I think for the box office, what's hard is, you know, content is getting better everywhere. And as a marketer, it's just making sure that we can stay on top of that. We don't really do any cinema advertising or anything within franchise films, so it doesn't really impact us that much. But I think, you know, whoever has the best content is going to win.
It's interesting. It is one of those things where I think that that's kind of the same thing that we found with advertising, right? Which is that whoever has the best content, it's going to be replayed. If you have a strong Super Bowl ad, obviously we've got the Super Bowl coming up in about a month. You know, those are the types of things that people will willingly spend their time engaging with. And it just seems that, I don't know, maybe the quality of the content that, you know, you can get at home might just keep on getting better, and it's harder to justify going out to a movie, especially during a pandemic that's, you know, not quite over.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think in terms of advertising, it's still down to the quality of the idea and the insights always, right? And that will always win no matter how you distribute it.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about is sustainability in general. You know, this is one thing that we covered also in the eMarketer briefing, is that Apple and Amazon, they furthered their climate commitments as a sustainability race heated up this year. And it seems that more and more brands and retailers are realizing that consumers really care about sustainability, and they're taking brands to task for whether or not their brands are actually, you know, good for the environment. Do they have a sustainable supply chain? And people are looking for a lot more transparency, but I'm not sure if, have you seen any business impacts in terms of the way in which you present your brand or what you're hearing from consumers in that regard?
Well, in terms of impact, I would just say there's no question, like, this is incredibly important for consumers. You know, our business is predominantly bricks and mortar in mass food and drug, like, you know, the FDM channels. And, you know, our customers such as Target, Walmart, they are putting a lot more scrutiny and priority on sustainability, which I think is fantastic. So as a company and as a brand, our leadership team spends a lot of time on it. Ironically, we had a full session with a consultant yesterday about coming up what is the responsible and right way to implement more sustainable measures into our packaging, into our DE&I initiatives, into corporate governance. It's incredibly important, I think, through the chain. So it's something that I think is fantastic, because it always makes me proud of the stuff I sell, if we can find ways to become much more holistically sustainable.
And it seems to me also that there may be, and I could be wrong, but there are certain brands, like yours included, that might be held to task a little bit when a brand that calls itself natural, for instance, you know, you might be expecting more from that brand in that regard, just to kind of make sure that, well, is what they're saying really true? And it's an interesting thing where I think consumers now have the tools to actually go out and investigate brands in a way that, you know, they didn't necessarily have the means to do in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. This is the most informed consumer base ever, especially within like the wellness space where we are. Consumers are, you know, this is the first generation that are turning the bottles and reading the back labels. And, you know, online, it's much more easy to see all of this stuff today. So what we love about Dr. Teals is we try to keep it authentic and very kind of simple and straightforward. So if you've seen our packaging, for example, a lot of our ingredients are on the front, not the back. And, you know, we try not to hide anything in terms of that kind of space. In terms of plastics, supply chain issues and things like that, we are having lots of conversations about how over time, how we can become even more sustainable in terms of recyclability, use of plastics, our carbon footprint, et cetera, et cetera. It's very much at the forefront of how we're thinking right now.
Yeah. And I think that it's interesting, because obviously, to your point, it keeps on evolving and the expectation keeps on changing. So great takes on the news. And we're going to take a quick word from our sponsor, smartly.io, and then we'll be right back.
Hi to all the social media marketers out there, listen up. Social platforms have become more important than ever for brands. You know this. So if you're looking to scale your social advertising in 2022, look no further. Smartly.io is number one in social media advertising. They help brands automate every step of the process by combining creative production and ad buying to unlock greater performance. To get the brand new 2022 social advertising trends report, go to smartly.io/emarketer.
All right, now it's time for our brief case study, where we look at a recent brand campaign or deployment and discuss what went right and some learnings for next time. Okay, so Brad, only a few years ago, Dr. Teals Epsom salts might have been thought of as niche, but today people take roughly 360 million baths per year, I heard, with your products, which is pretty amazing. What do you attribute that growth to, largely?
Well, I think it's just consumers' understanding of wellness in general. The wellness category is about $1.5 trillion today. It's still growing like 5 to 10, so it's massive. And consumers' adoption of it and importance in their life is growing and growing. There was a McKinsey study in 2021 that 79% of respondents said they believe wellness is important, and 42% actually consider it a top priority. And what we've seen is with wellness over time, it was always historically about physical well-being and health. It's been transitioning over time to include mental well-being. And consumers today are looking for easier ways for more holistic wellness in their lives. And, you know, a lot of the things that they're doing today is maybe like meditation. We know all the digital apps to help you do this from your for your mental health. You know, what's an easier way to do that than just to do a quick 20-minute bath with two cups of Dr. Teals to not only relax your body, but soothe your mind?
Plus, I've got to say, I mean, a lot of people are not commuting these days and haven't in a while. So I'm wondering if like those 20 minutes can be reallocated towards a bath that, you know, probably doesn't seem like such a bad idea.
Exactly. A lot of people, I think, are taking, you know, that commute time and putting it to much better use, for sure.
So if you want to break some news with us right now, feel free. I mean, how big are you right now? Can you quantify that for us in any way? And what your growth has been like over the last few years?
Sure, for sure. Like, you know, we're private, so I can't give you the full revenue, but I can tell you, like, for example, in retail sales right now in Nielsen, we're about $350 million in sales right now. I'll leave that up to the audience if that's big or not. What I find really interesting is we've doubled in 3 years and we've tripled in 5 years. So the brand has been on a great tear getting to this point today. You know, a lot of that growth, we measure household penetration. A lot of it's been fueled by that because we've been seeing, you know, mid double digit compounded growth on that as well.
And I know that your product's been touted by world-class athletes like LA Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald and Olympian and US gymnast Lori Hernandez. How important to your success have those celebrity endorsements been?
They're very important. You know, our brand strategy, we actually have two targets we go after. First is the well-being seeker. That consumer, she identifies herself as female, mostly multicultural. You know, she's married, usually with children and working. I mean, for that consumer, they're just looking for much more, you know, improving of her well-being. And that's the campaign we're doing right now. Another piece that I'm talking about today. Within that, though, we and with the beauty of digital, we can segment it to go after athletic recoverers. And the simple insight for us, Jeremy, was we had all these athletes actually using it already. And so we reached out to them to do a campaign today. It's been incredibly successful, by the way. I mean, we've used, you know, in terms of like evaluating the content, services like Ace Metrics, like it's off the charts how well it scores with the attended target. And in the movement that we've seen throughout the purchase funnel by doing it has been incredible. And we found that those two targets are actually highly incremental to each other.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I was actually going to ask you, to what extent do you proactively cultivate these influencers and celebrities as fans versus reactively responding to those opportunities as they come up?
Yeah, you know, Jeremy, we have a little bit of a push-pull, I guess, is what we've done. 5 years ago, when the brand was only $100 million, we just had people organically using it, athletes, and we would learn about it and send them stuff like we would, and we were a much smaller brand. Now that we've gotten bigger, we've continued doing that and continuing that organic presence. But, you know, we have now reached out to a few of them, like you talked about Lori, you've talked about Aaron Donald, Derrick Henry is also on the roster for us. You know, these are guys that are very dedicated to physical fitness and pushing their body, but understand the importance of recovery as part of the overall fitness regimen. And so we've done both, by the way. We've been very, very fortunate and lucky that it's organically out there.
Yeah, it almost seems to me that you've learned from an approach where you've been learning and listening to the customer. I mean, I personally thought it was interesting that you've cultivated a following among professional football players. And I wouldn't have intuitively, as somebody who's worked in the beauty industry, I wouldn't have intuitively thought that you would have a significant male following, you know, but maybe that's something that you just gleaned through consumer insights over time.
We did. Yeah. And then, you know, within all of our studies, it's about 45% of our user base is actually male. That was like the myth I had coming in as well, that, you know, after sixth grade, no men bathe. But they do. And the men that do bathe actually bathe more frequently than females, we've learned. A lot of their motivations or their occasions for bathing is more like within athletic recovery. And
I'm going to pitch you your next tagline right now. Real men take baths.
I love it.
You can cut me in later. We'll discuss, you know, my take, but think about it.
You got it.
Well, and I know that you actually just worked on a campaign that, you know, came across my desk. I thought it was a really interesting one. What can you tell us about the genesis of your Soak It In campaign?
Yeah, we're very excited about a campaign we just launched called Soak It In. We partnered with a new agency called Curiosity. And Curiosity, along with the brand team, came up with trying to understand kind of insights within the wellness space and consumers today. And what we learned was, you know, well, we all know this because the lives we're all living today, it's hectic, it's chaotic, it's always on. You know, our consumers have a to-do list as long as a CVS receipt. And while it's, you know, hectic and stressful and chaotic, our consumers were very optimistic about getting it done. And the real insight was, and they really wanted to be mindfully present during all those moments that matter. And that was the unlock for us, because Dr. Teals has always been about, and I don't know if you've tried the products, but has always been about rejuvenating the mind, body, and spirit. So, you know, marrying that need to be mindfully present during these moments that matter, we just wanted to show how taking a soak in Dr. Teals will actually enable you to be able to do that better.
Yeah, obviously, when you think about those external partners that you were just kind of mentioning, partnering with the right agency to put together an interesting campaign, are there any other external partners that you work with? And how do you determine what makes sense to keep in-house versus where you ought to partner?
Yeah, that's a great question, you know, about in-house versus partner. In terms of the roster right now, we use, like I said, Curiosity that helped us come up with our paid advertising campaign and overall campaign. We work with an agency called Reddish, who works with us on, you know, the athlete program you talked about with us. And we do have a paid media agency called the Sasha Group, which is a division of Vayner. We found that that's the right mix for us to right size, to help us execute. Pretty much everything we do is digital. In terms of communications and outbound. So, you know, we found that going outside for all of those have been the most optimal use of our resources. In terms of internal, it's much more about brand strategy and execution.
I know you mentioned that most of what you're doing is digital. I mean, where's the ad running specifically, that campaign, the Soak It In campaign? And why did you opt for those specific placements? Because obviously there's so many different options available to marketers these days.
So it's been predominantly digital. Like I told you, I came on board in 2016, and that's when the brand, it wasn't me, it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, was we really started ramping up communication efforts on Dr. Teals. And the brand was born in social, where we communicated. We like social for the targeting we can do, the metrics we can get to learn. And we also learned that our wellness consumer, that's where they go for information. Our consumer spends an inordinate amount of time, like me, on social media, and they follow influencers. We talked about that. And they actually follow brand sites within the wellness space to learn about innovation and new things to help add value to their lives. Where we're launching the campaign right now is predominantly social media, paid social media today, like the Instagrams, the Facebooks, Google, and YouTube. We are venturing a lot more into connected TV today. I mean, I just have to read eMarketer to see the growth in that space. And we're seeing great returns in the connected TV space right now. And then lastly, outside of influencers and other public relations campaigns is we're fascinated with TikTok. I'm sure like everyone is, especially what's happened over the last year and a half. I have teenage daughters watching what's happening with TikTok, and what we see with even an organic post about our brands, like the immediate return we see on that is incredible. So that's another space that we're going to spend a lot more time with in the upcoming year.
And then for a campaign like this, how do you measure success? And I ask you in part because I know that you have a lot of investment in retail, as opposed to a lot of companies I speak to who have more of a investment in D2C and direct to consumer. So how do you measure success? How do you know this was a like that? What are the top KPIs that you're going to be looking at?
Sure. I mean, ultimately, we're about penetration. I mean, at the end of the day, the brand's about recruiting new consumers into the brand. So we will ultimately work on that, on the amount of new consumers we get into our franchise. Now, when we peel it back, how do we get there? We will look at the awareness we're able to achieve, the trial, and the regular usage. The thing that I found fascinating about Dr. Teal since the moment I came in, outside of men actually do bathe, by the way, was the second thing was the brand has an incredibly efficient purchase funnel. And what we've seen consistently for the last 5 years is we've grown awareness. We've also been able to disproportionately grow trial as well as regular usage. Like the way I like to talk about it is we have an investment grade funnel here. So the goal for us is going to be making sure we get that reach and awareness because we know it leads to trial as well as regular usage.
And then, you know, speaking of that and for all of the measurement questions there, you know, you're interesting to me that you've had a lot of growth, but it seems to be entirely driven by business you're doing with retailers. When, of course, there are all these stories about retail is dead, retail is dying, yada, yada, when in reality, retail is just evolving, right? I mean, what was the thought process on your end, you know, for not offering direct-to-consumer e-commerce to compete with the retailers? And does that make it more challenging to have a retailer-driven strategy, given how some retailers have struggled through the pandemic?
You know, we haven't had any issues being kind of retail first. We have seen incredible growth. And I guess where we've been fortunate, if you're talking about through the pandemic and all of these situations, is where we predominantly play at retail is we're all essential. And what we were learning from shopper behavior was we were going to the places they were going, the Walmarts, the Targets. So we were there. Where they were actually shopping or actually buying. I love that expression. People weren't shopping during the pandemic. They were actually buying. But with that said, we have become much more omni-channel over time. E-commerce is our fastest channel of growth by far. We've scaled up our e-commerce team here and all the work that we're doing, you know, with Sasha and with our other agencies is to make sure that we truly are omni-channel.
For our parting shot, what are two brands you particularly admire that you draw inspiration from?
Two brands that I draw inspiration. I'm staring at one right now. I draw inspiration from Dyson. I'm sitting here looking at a Dyson air purifier right now. The innovation that that brand has and their ability to bring innovative thinking to disrupt categories, whether it's vacuum, air care, hair care, it's incredible. And the quality of the products and thinking about the consumer experience, I find incredible that they're able to do that. And they do it at such a premium price point, but people see the value in it. So it's not expensive. It's actually a great buy. The second brand that I find inspiration, I spent a lot of my time in alcoholic beverages in my career. And one brand that I've always loved is, and will always admire, is Ketel One. I don't know if you're familiar with Ketel One Vodka. It's a family-run business. They've been around for hundreds of years. And the passion they have of doing one thing so well is so, being around them is incredible that they are so focused on making such a high-quality product. And the way that they put their heart and soul into that brand to make such a high quality product is incredible.
Well, you heard it here first. Ketel One, Dr. Teal's partnership in 2023. I jest, of course, but this was really fantastic, Brad. That's all the time we have for today's episode. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you at podcast@emarketer.com. I'll be back in 2 weeks for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Brand Anatomy. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Smartly.io.